please. Jesus, so we ask you to bless our time together today as we look in a book that the world may not even notice. But you tell us that the flower fades and the grass withers, but the word of God shall abide forever. It's the only thing we can have in this room that we can take to heaven with us. So may we know your Bible with you. Today, Jesus, we look at some miracles, and you're not through doing miracles. You do them every day. In fact, our heart beats 100,000 times a day. This globe spins at 1,000 miles an hour, and we don't fly off. We just take that for granted. The way our eyes work, and our arms move, and our feet work. And Jesus, all we have to do is just be sick, and we appreciate good health. So, Jesus, today, as we look at another miracle in John, and how you did something that was unheard of back then. Lord, even today when we look at it, we'll notice it was more than just a miracle on the surface. You did something amazing. So help us, Jesus, today to look at that. Then maybe we apply it to our own lives that you'll do something for us. So Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying with me, and thanks for your patience. It is so good to see everybody.
You ought to turn to the person beside you and say, it's good to see you today.
It's good to see you today.
I mean, I walked in the door and I thought, wow, it's great to see you today. Unless that'd be your husband or your wife, and you probably don't want to. No, I'm just kidding. Pray for me, though. I got to get rid of this stuff so I can go down and show the Marines how it's done. So, Mark Batterson, anybody got this book? Are you reading it? It's chock full of miracles, and I think one of them's neat that I told you just everyday things we just take for granted. Here's what Mark writes. He said, during my senior year of high school, my basketball coach noticed I was squinting at the free throw line. So he suggested I get my vision checked. I honestly thought my vision was normal. But when I went to the doctor, the ophthalmologist informed me that I had 20/40 vision. That means I have to stand at 20 feet and see what most people with normal vision can see at 40 feet. Which might explain my shooting percentage from the free throw line that year, he sort of jokes. You can function pretty effectively with 20/40 vision. You can get your driver's license, read print, recognize faces, but you lack visual acuity and distant objects look blurry. I will never forget the car ride home after putting in contacts for the very first time. I almost can't put into words. It was only a 5-minute drive, and we had made that drive 1,000 times before, but it was like I was seeing the world for the what? The very first time. Suddenly like, wow. I remember seeing some pink and purple flowers that were so vivid and so colorful and so beautiful I could barely believe my eyes. I was finally able to see what had always been there, but I just hadn't what? Noticed or saw. I contend with you today there's miracles in this room. And you say, never really thought about that. Wow. The man born blind had to be overwhelmed by the images flying at him, but he saw them for what they are that day. Not just images, but miracles. Miracles. I got a student in one of my classes that she, I mentioned wearing seatbelts one day, and she said, Mr. Moser? Yes. She said, can I tell class something? I said, absolutely. And she said, I had a seatbelt on. I never wear a seatbelt. For some reason, something told me to put it on one day. And I put it on, and we were coming down toward the Catawba on the... It's a regular Catawba.
311.
Which is... It's close to Bradshaw. You know, they took off Bradshaw, I guess. It's just old Catawba Mountain. And as they were driving on that road, a deer jumped out in front of them, and they swerved to miss it, and they went off the bank. And she said the car flipped several times. And she says, I'm here to tell you, if I didn't have my seatbelt on, I think I'd be dead. This is coming from the voice of a 15, 16-year-old. And I thought, wow. So when she was going by me the other day, I caught her by the arm, and I said, I want you to know I appreciate you. You know, you're a miracle. She said, you know what, I never went to church in my life until now. And I realized that God saved my life that day. And so I'm trying to go to church and trying to do what's right, I think. Have you accepted Jesus as Savior? I never quite made it to that point, but I am trying to just be more attuned. But that little girl who's young, a fourth of my age, has now realized that she is a what? She's a miracle. She shouldn't be alive. But she said, I put that seatbelt on that day. Never wore a seatbelt, but I did that day. Never go to church, but I do now. And so I encourage you. Felt like praying with her that day, but I thought, Lord, I just need to be attuned into that and to see details for what they are. So let's check out some of the miracles that you might see. This is a window. This is a window of what some people might call a window of what? Opportunity. A window of opportunity. And in that window of opportunity is this. If a window of opportunity appears, by the way, don't pull the shade down. You know, it's like, how many people, I am going to ask you to raise your hand, how many people feel like that they've blown it at certain times? Go ahead, put your hand up. Look around the room. All of us. I'll sometimes look and the devil will fret you to death. Man, you should have tried to play basketball in college, or you should have passed that spelling test in the fourth grade, Mark. And he'll just ride us, won't he? The devil will make you missed out. And if we're not careful, we'll start saying, you know what? I don't guess there's any hope for me. All my opportunities are gone. Hogwash. That's coming from a liar. Oh, it just took off there. Back it up, back it up. Back it up, keep backing it up. I think we finished the series. Okay, let's just pray and we'll go now. Do you think you have missed your window of opportunity spiritually? That was the point I was going to make. Some people feel like I've tried and I've messed up, and that's the only opportunity I've had. I don't know about you, but I'm living proof that God gives more than one opportunity. Anybody, what we Baptists like to call backslid? Anybody have been backslid away from the faith? And the devil says, you're too far gone. And I say, you're a liar. You know, I've learned to call him what he is. He's the father of lies. Yeah, you should have got saved when you were 10, or you should have done this, or you should have. An accuser just right. I'm here to set you free today, not me, Jesus, because I'm going to show you a man born blind, that he had a window of opportunity. Now, what do you mean by a window of opportunity? Well, consider the development of a baby's eyes. We've learned this. You can learn this about out of the grave robber book there. Physically, we're all born blind somewhat. Mark Batterson writes that a baby is born with a vision of 20/200. Wow. That's what Andy's eyes are, unless he wears glasses. So 20/200. Now, he had to have a cataract in this eye to force Cicely to try to look around it, which made them both weak. And so we're all born blind somewhat. And then they said the baby relies on that hug, that warmth, that kiss, that soft caress from a mom or a dad, and then the baby will start. It's almost like they're just, you ever look truly at a newborn's face, and they're like, it's just a blank stare. You know why? Because they don't really see you that well. You're just blurry to them. You're like Mark's eyes when he came back and he finally wore contacts. What did he say? He said, I saw trees and flowers that I'd never what? Can you imagine the baby? Now watch this. If this doesn't, it'll probably touch my heart. But mamas, you especially, you're sitting there just talking, and the baby looks up. What did the baby just now see for the first time? Mom's face. And that's whose name they usually say first. Mom. Mama. And they look at Dan and go, You know, it's like, no, just start crying. No. Physically, we're all born blind somewhat, but our eyes adjust as we grow older, and then we begin to focus and to see what we should. Look at that pretty little baby, and the eyes haven't developed yet. And so they just want a blank stare. You know, like you in Algebra 2. You sort of stare through the sky and hope that somehow it'll click. If we were to cover a baby's eyes, how cruel. But if we were to cover a baby's eyes with a patch during this window of development, about 6 or 8 week, 2 month, 3 month period, if you cover this eye, then that eye wouldn't continue to flicker and to fight and try to do this, and then pretty soon, okay, the window of development's gone, and the baby would be blind in that eye. Well, some of us seem like we've got a window of development for spirituality. They say, man, I went to Sunday school when I was small, and I'm so glad I enjoyed it. Some of us didn't, though. And we feel like that window of development of spiritual, oh, if I'd have just done this, I'd have been all right. Well, guess what? I got news for you today. You're still all right. God has not closed the window of opportunity. You have a window of opportunity today. You can go forward at the end. You don't even have to come forward. I'll just pray with you. But if you're sitting right there and say, Jesus, I haven't blown it so far, too far, that I can't be reached, can I? God says no. So I can receive my what today? Sight? Yeah. But Lord, I should have done that. I don't want to hear it. So my opportunities are still available. The devil would think you not. If we were born blind, do you realize our eyes would never adjust? Now go back to my example. Let's cover both babies' eyes. And then after a while, during that window of development, which we should be doing something, now, after a couple months, take the patches off, what would the baby be? The man in John chapter 9 is like that. They didn't cover his eyes. He's born blind. Born blind. He's never saw a thing in his life. If I say White House, Joe, where are you thinking?
Washington.
See, he's got an image. It just, boom, I see the columns. See, he's that blind man didn't have those. If somebody says, Giles football field, I can see it. I can smell the grass. Where? See, that's high school. I can see that gym floor. I can see that blue line. If I said, Charlotte, and picture the, I can smell the rubber tire. This man had none of that. This man's like this all his life. And somebody says, picture Jerusalem. It'd be cruel to him. What pops to his mind? Nothing but what?
Darkness.
How sad. Well, what goes from here to here, though? Well, that's that optic nerve. You know, it goes back to the cerebral cortex, and we just, boom, boom, we form synapses, because you see an image, and there's that baby going back and four thousandths of so quick, and then, whoo, there it is. This man's never had that. He's never had it. If you were born blind, you realize our eyes would never adjust. There would be no images for us to bring to mind with our eyes closed, but only darkness. So you're living in darkness. Oh, now, let me ask you a question. It's just opinion. What would be worse, be born blind or to have sight and lose it?
Have sight and lose it.
So if somebody says, well, at least you got to see for a while, but now they know what they're missing. I don't know. Jesus is about to heal somebody. I'm going to open your eyes to something you've never seen before. Open your eyes to this man in John chapter 9. So turn, if you would, in your Bible, John chapter 9. I've learned something this week, that's for sure. And if I have enough time, I'm even going to let Mark Batterson, the author of the book, talk in a short video, and he'll even tell you a few of these things. I'm just going to catch you up right here. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. It's the last gospel. Turn to the New Testament. Find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's 21 chapters. We're going to go about a third of the book. John chapter 9, verse 1. So turn, if you would, to John chapter 9. Let's read the familiar story about the blind man. First of all, isn't this odd? I put this up. First of all, isn't it odd that we refer to this man by his weakness? Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? You know,
we're kind of mess with you.
Sure.
But what if I said, Jesus, I just want to introduce, here's the blind man. How would Mark introduce me to his dad? Hey, you remember, not Mr. Moser, but you remember him. You know, the one that cusses. You remember him. He's the one with the pornography habit. He's the one that drinks a lot. Wouldn't it be horrible?
Yeah.
There's Joe. Here's the selfish guy I was telling you about, Jesus. What if I called you by your sin right now? Please don't.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Oh, here's. But we do that. Years ago, you know what somebody's nickname was for this talk? What do we call him? What do we call him? Shorty. Hey, Shorty, can I hit that rim? Sure. Hey, ugly, can you get me that other wrench? Yeah, here it is. Here's that wrench. Wouldn't that be awful? Hey, crooked teeth, over here. Snaggle tooth. Are kids cruel like that? You bet. You know what they wore? Call somebody wore glasses?
Four eyes.
The two I got don't work. Why are you calling that? Well, you make fun of me. Hey, stinky feet. Wait a minute. Isn't that cold? Here's the blind man. He feels bad enough as it is. blind man. As he went along, he saw a man born blind from birth. Disciples asked him. His disciples asked him. Not the Pharisees, not the mean, not the cruel people. His disciples. Even they're judgmental. Rabbi, which means teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What did they just now imply?
Accused his parents of
being. God's punishing him. He's born blind. Oh, you must have done something wrong. Oh, thanks. That's cold. Who sinned? This man or his... Jesus just boom, right in the face. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. If you got something wrong in your life, maybe God's going to say, I'll step in and show you and I'll get the glory for that. Can you imagine a drug addict coming clean, an alcoholic finally drinking his last drop, and he stands before you and says, this is what I used to be. Or a woman who stands up and says, I thought about, and she just fills in the blank. Or a man that says, I used to... Oh, what a testimony. He says, I've done this. Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Notice he says, day, he's going to be the light. Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the what? Light of the world. Don't you think he's choosing his words carefully? He's going to heal a blind man who's living in what?
Darkness.
And I'm the light of the world. His disciples all be taking notes. Wow. You know your words, don't you? You who are living in darkness, I'm your light. Woo! Having said this, he's going to do something that, oh, he'll just do like we expect. I love it when Jesus does stuff that you don't have a clue what's going on. Having said this, he spit on the ground, started rubbing it with the dirt, made some mud with the saliva, and he put it in the man's eyes. If this was you, how would you like it? Here's mud in your eye. Right there it is. Jesus, I can't see as it is. What are you doing? Or he'd have said, Jesus, what are you doing? Where did Adam come from? Dirt? Out of the dust of the earth, he makes man. And isn't it odd that the man who speaks Adam into life makes mud, puts it on there, and he says, now go wash. He's going to give him a chance to be obedient. Sometimes God just blesses us off of his grace. Sometimes he requires you to do a little something on your own. And that's where some of us fail too. What if God says, I'm going to light your world on fire. This is going to be great. I just need you to go to Life Point for about a month straight. I don't know if I can go. Well, we don't want you to break up your normal routine. But can you heal me though? What do you call those people? They want something for
nothing.
How about a little bit of faith here? Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Shalom. Can the man see you right now, by the way?
No.
Shalom's probably about 100 yards, 200 yards off.
Going down to the pool. Feeling his way around. Why didn't he just heal me on the spot?
Because he wants to see if you'll obey. You ever gripe at God? Come on. Liars. I'm going to preach on lying next Sunday. I would scream like I did the other day, but my throat would be raw and say, God, heal me of this cold! Like a frog. I mean, what was that in my mouth? My head's clogged. Everything. You too now? Sorry. Don't mean to be griping. Maybe I've got a reason for doing this. You'll appreciate being well, won't you? Okay. But can I just be better for them? Okay, whatever you say. I just need to be patient right now. Pick up your Bible and read it. Okay. Talk to people around you. Having said this, he told a man to go. Washing the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. The man went and washed and came home seeing. He went, he washed, came home seeing. First two things are obedience. He went, he washed. Whew. See, I'd be emotional if I start thinking about this. Mark Batterson puts it in context. He sees things clear. This man is now going to do what? See things for the first time in his life. Oh, a flower. This man's just walking, tears running down his new found eyes. And we're the crowd going by him. What's wrong with you? So it's a puppy. I've never seen a puppy before. Soft ears. That man's more appreciative now than he ever has been in his life because he's been blind all his life. You want to appreciate something? Let me take it away for a little bit. You think you're going to lose somebody? You'll pray harder than you ever did. And this man is hurting. He's blind. But now he goes, he went, he washed, came home seeing. His neighbors and those who were formerly sent him beg and ask, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? His life is no longer begging. Some claimed that he was, others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they demanded. Some kind of miracle happened? Yeah, it did. The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Shalom and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know. Meaning Jesus, where is he? And the Pharisees went down to try to find Jesus. And I just think it's interesting that aren't you glad God calls us children and not by our weakness? God's not going to say, go get the blind man. He's going to say, go get my latest miracle. Let's read the story and learn how to see a little bit clearer today. We've read our story. Let me ask you this. Sin did not cause this man's blindness, but rather God used him to show people that he was the light of the world. And so this man who is now physically able to see, God's going to use that as a parallel and says, some of y'all are born physically about blind and your eyes finally open. Some of you are born spiritually blind. And the Pharisees, he can look at them and he says, and the Pharisees would say, hey, we can see. He says, because you say you see, you're really what?
Blind.
But those who say, Lord, I know I was blind, but now I see. You can see, can't you? Matter of fact, we sing one of the famous songs of the world, Amazing Grace. What's that line? It says, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. We all need to admit to God we are blind spiritually, that we want to now see. Maybe we can one day give this testimony. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Who said that? This blind man. Look in verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees a man had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I wash, now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Now look at what they just said. He heals a man that's been born blind, but he doesn't keep the Sabbath. So the Pharisees, oh, that would be like someone choking. And I race over and I grab them and do the Heimlich, and the meat comes out. And it's like, ah, oh, thank you, you saved my life. And there's somebody in the room who says, you're not a doctor. What are you doing trying to save people? What? I saved his life. Yeah, but don't do that anymore. You're not a doctor. And since you're not a doctor, we don't want you to do anything wrong. I could just sit and let him choke to death like some of you did. Oh, being smart, huh? A lot smarter than you. What do you mean by that? That's what I would feel around these Pharisees. They're just jerks. Some of the Pharisees said, this man's not for God. He doesn't keep a Sabbath. Another says, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? He just formed a miracle. Don't call him a sinner. So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight, still discounting a miracle, until they sent for his parents. Ah, we're going to get to the root of this. Is this your son? They ask. Is this one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? By the way, you parents, when good things happen to your kids, how you feel? His daddy's crying, his mom's crying. Son, you can see. He sees his mama for the first time. Now, he's probably done this and felt through their face, but now he can look. Daddy! And the Pharisees interrupt the great blessings there and say, is this your son? Yes. Maybe you can tell us about how he got his sight. We know he's our son, parents said, and we know he was born blind, but I can see. Hey, we don't know that, or who opened his eyes, we don't know that either. But ask him, he's of age, he'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, ask him. He's of age. Second time they summoned the man who had been blind, give glory to God. They said, we know this man's a sinner. He replied, whether a sinner or not, I don't know, but one thing I do know. Right there it is. I was blind, but now I see. Let's watch one of the sessions of this series. I'm going to just show you. It's a real short thing. I want you to check out this as Mark Batterson shows you a couple things of this story.
Went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in this world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked him, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. John 9, 1 through 11.
Listen to what he gives you a little bit of a background on his vision. He's traveled to Jerusalem where the miracle happened.
As you walk through the old city of Jerusalem, it's hard not to imagine Jesus moving from place to place, encountering people with all different needs. When we look at the Gospels, there are four primary types of healing miracles. Jesus made the lame walk, the mute talk, the deaf hear, and the blind see. And all four are absolutely amazing in their own right, but blindness certainly entailed the greatest degree of difficulty because of the complexity of the human eye. But even that doesn't do justice to the sixth miracle. Jesus doesn't just heal a blind man, he heals a man born blind. And there's a big difference. In fact, John 9:32 says, no one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. Now, to fully appreciate this miracle, you have to know a little bit about neurology. Babies are born legally blind. Their vision at birth is 20/200. But during the first 8 months of life, they develop color vision, depth perception, and visual acuity. Well, during this developmental process, windows of opportunity open and close like clockwork. Well, one of them is called synaptogenesis. And next to Genesis, I don't think there's anything more amazing than synaptogenesis. Let me explain it this way. If you were to place a patch over the eye of a newborn baby and leave it there during the first few years of life, that baby would be blind in that eye the rest of their life, even if there was no physical deformity or genetic defect. The reason is simple. No synapses would form between the optic nerve and the visual cortex in the brain. Now, the significance of that is this. The sixth miracle wasn't as simple as correcting an astigmatism or healing a corneal scar or removing a cataract. This is nothing short of synaptogenesis. Jesus hardwires a blind man's brain. He installs synapses long after the window of opportunity is closed. Now, at about 6 months of age, children start developing internal pictures of external realities. Now, psychologists refer to this ability to create and catalog mental images as representational intelligence, and almost like a slow-developing Polaroid. Those internal images are developed in the dark room of the mind's eye. Well, the first internal image is mom, which develops at about 6 months of age. Dad enters the picture at about 8 months of age. Give that child a few years and their entire vocabulary will have a matching picture. If I were to say the White House, a picture of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue pops into your mind. And the same is true of lake, or car, or pet. We all fill in the blanks differently, but we have images to match those words. I see Lake Ida.
He says he sees Lake Ida from where he used to live. That's not right. That's about it. That's good. He sees Lake Ida from where he used to live. If he thinks of car, he'll think of his first car. What was your first car? I had a 61 Studebaker Lark. So if I say first car, boom, I see this black car, three on the tree. Okay. Well, Jesus says we all have images coming to our mind, and that's what... Now, switch to the blind man again. What images pop to his mind? He has no images. I just think that this man, we've got to finish him up. Do you hear what he was talking about, the synapses and all that? So Jesus didn't just, I got his eyes. It'd be like, I finally got my glasses on. What's he actually do? From the optic nerve to the visual cortex, he hotwires at it. It's as though he's had sight what? All his long. All his life. Now watch this. Spiritual application. When he saves me, Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I'm not condemned? Nope. It's as just as if I'm justified, justification. And that word, it's just as if I had never sinned. It's just as if I was never born blind spiritually. It's like, you're my child. Now I know we all had to have that point to accept him. But if you hear nothing else, listen to this. Some of you think you've missed your opportunity. Your window of opportunity, I can't accept Jesus now. Why not? Well, the devil told me, stop. Stop talking right there. If the devil told you, it's a flat-out lie. Oh, I can't be forgiven. Yes, you can. God doesn't love me. Yes, He does. God doesn't give me more than one chance. Oh, my. God loves you. He loves you so much He died for you. Jesus pays a price to forgive us of our sins, and all we have to do is come to Him, and we can ask Him to forgive us. But I've messed up a lot. Well, He's got a lot of grace. So I haven't missed my window of opportunity? No, you've got one today. Got one right now. Let me finish with... The Pharisees are the ones that say they can see and they can't. How much spiritual training does this blind man have? None. Watch him school the Pharisees. What's this? You can just listen. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. That's a blind man. Then they ask him, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Who cares? He can see. I've told you already, you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Oh, that went along well. They hurl insults and say, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he did a miracle and opened my eyes.
and yet you don't know Him. We know that God does not listen to sinners. So obviously this man's not a sinner because he did a miracle and opened my eyes. He listens to the godly man who does His will. And nobody has ever heard, did you hear this? 9:32, nobody's ever heard of an opening of the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing, so this must be the Son of God. At that, wouldn't it love, the Pharisees said, I guess you're right, and suddenly, yeah, no they don't. They hurl it right back. To this they replied, oh, you're steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? Don't you tell me how to kick him out. He goes out and he finds Jesus. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when they had found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. He's been physically made to see. Guess what he's about to do? Spiritually made to see. You tell me who the Son of Man is. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus says, you're now, touch his mark, you're now able to who? To see him. You're looking at him. And for the first time in his life, he can look at Jesus. Wow. You've now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. You're looking at me right now. Now, he's not a baby. He doesn't need 6 months or two a year to his eyes. He's seeing right now as though he's never lost his sight. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Could you pray with me, please? Dear Jesus, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. That's all you're asking us to do today is believe. Lord, I believe. Lord Jesus, if there's someone here that's never trusted you, may they say right now, Jesus, Lord, I believe. I finally believe. My eyes are opened. You have given me my sight. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Save my soul. And help me to live for you from this day on. And help me to worship you. The blind man did that. He said, Lord, I believe. I find two amazing things in this passage. I can now see, and Lord, I believe. Lord Jesus, help us to see you today, and then help us to believe in you, because we need you to remove that blindness, that spiritual blindness. And Jesus, I pray that we would never be like the Pharisees that claim they can see, and yet they were blind. And yet this man who had no biblical training, rarely went to the synagogue, had been a beggar a lot of his life, had finally been set free. His vision was there. So Jesus, today, may the blindness leave us. May we come to you. And may we, like this man, see you for the first time for who you are, our Savior. In Jesus' name.